only been around for 29 years. Okay, baby boy, let's play. The US's earliest known trans advocacy group was in 1895, nearly 130 years ago. It was called the Circle of Hermaphroditos. Now, 130 years still isn't very long into human history, but it sure as hell trumps your 29 years. So let's go back a little further and leave the US. In Italy, in the early 1800s, we see the appearance of the word femminiello. A femminiello described a person who was assigned male at birth, who lived their life out as a woman, and got married to men as a woman. But why don't we take it 400 years earlier than that? In the 1400s in Albania, we get the word bernesho, which describes someone who was assigned female at birth and wore male clothing and was a masculine person for the rest of their life. Let's go back 400 years earlier than that, to the 1200s. In Egypt, a group of people known as the Mamluk would recognize female porn people with masculine traits and then dress them up as sons for the rest of their lives, and they would be treated as men with male privileges and have wives. But let's go back 1600 years earlier than that, in 400 BCE. In ancient Greece, there were people who lived androgynously as prophets and healers, and they were called the Enrai people. But let's go back even earlier than that, to as early as 7000 BCE. Dating back to the oldest ancient history we have, we see depictions of people who either contain characteristics of both sexes or neither. And pretty much every region of the world with native peoples has a word for it in their culture. Dating back so far, we don't even know where it started. In indigenous Siberia, we get the word chuchi, which means trans or genderqueer. Mexico, with the early Zapotec and Oaxacan people, we get the Muxe, or called the Bakla in the Tagalog people of the Philippines. They're commonly called the sister girls and brother boys of Aboriginal Australia. There's quite literally hundreds of different names across Native American tribes. We now put that under the blanket term two-spirited, but of course respect anyone who identifies as something closer to their tribe. In South Asia, they were called the Hijra. And now you may be thinking, well, that's only a couple of peoples across world history. No, it's frickin' not! Because I only have so much time here, I chose random dates from history, but there are so many groups of people with so many names for genderqueer, trans, even drag queens, non-binary, everything. They've been here the whole entire time. Here's the other thing. They never go away. They just go into hiding when someone threatens to hurt them. And that's what's happening before our very eyes in the US, and that's what we need to be stopping. Because the history of genderqueerness is the history of humanity itself. Anyone trans watching this, please remember that in the earliest history, you would have been celebrated. You would have been considered a shaman, a religious leader. People would have looked up to you because you understood both sexes. So your ancestors are looking down on you and going, "Go, little rock star." So yeah, kid, I have done my research. Have you?
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
Welcome to the Ponderosa, my friends, for an evening of songs and stories about the American West.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
Well, this week, the weekend, at least when we're recording, the big Pride Festival.
Yeah.
Yes.
Going on downtown Salt Lake City. Got interrupted a little bit on Saturday, you know, because every once in a while you just need a tornado warning in a place that has only had, as far as we could tell historically, two.
Yeah.
In the last couple hundred years.
I mean, we had earthquakes a couple years ago. I'm just not surprised.
No, not at all. Not at all. But the mountains are supposed to keep the air from tornadoing.
Yeah, well, our air sucks.
Yep.
So they're like, mah.
So yeah, we get the phones go off a couple times yesterday, and with the severe thunderstorm warning, shelter in place, you know, for the next 15 minutes, the next 20 minutes, the next 30 minutes. Now, I saw on Facebook, obviously, because that's where we talk about the weather now, a lot of pictures from over on the west side of town where it was just rain and hail and loud cacophony. And we're up at the shop yesterday and it rained for like a minute and a half. That's about it.
Bummer.
Yep.
I like to sit out my window and watch it.
I like big thunder.
When that lightning storm was happening, it just sat out on my balcony, enjoying my life.
Very nice. Yep. No, it didn't get any of that. Just worked. You know.
Bummer.
What are you going to do?
Yep.
The work day. Was waiting for the severe weather to come in, knock the power out, and give us an early day. But no.
No.
No such luck.
No.
No, we get the power outages, you know, late last night and early this morning, depending upon where you lived.
Yeah, we did. We got the power flipped on and off here for me this morning, which was super annoying because I was in the middle of something and lost all that work. Awesome.
Oh, shit.
You know, and it was out for like 3 seconds, maybe.
Damn it. Not even worth losing it.
Nope. Not even long enough to really take a break. Just reboot everything and see what you can hang on to, I suppose. So, I don't know. But so I would call this week the beginning of the season I hate the most.
I fucking hate summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I understand why you're not.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Red hair.
Cancer.
Cancer.
That's all it is. Outside is cancer.
I fucking hate this. I hate the sun.
I do too. I do too. And it's, I remember, and I don't think it's a false equivalency memory, but we used to have a lot more shade when I was a kid.
Nope. That's true, actually.
Yeah. But then people decided that they wanted to, you know, open up their yards and they cut down trees and they stopped planting trees along median strips. And before you knew it, a lot less shade, a lot more aggravating, intense sun.
Yeah.
In Rose Park, there is a park. there's a park down the street from Ben's house, and they've almost removed every big tree.
Oh, great.
So it builds like a dot. I don't even know what they're doing. But then also in Rose Park, when there's huge windstorms, the houses are like every tree just falls down, like the huge ones.
They get a little tired.
And then the sidewalk breaks, and it's just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish they'd replaced them more.
Me too.
Yeah.
We lost at my old place. We had this gigantic fucking sycamore. It was a beautiful tree. And it got sick. And we finally had to take it out. And it was like the house was never temperate again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, even with the central air, only the basement gets cool.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Because it's just so fucking hot. Double insulation up in the attic didn't matter. You know, liked that tree. But boy, did it drop a lot of lumber when it got windy. Yeah.
Yep. I got trees like that here. Big old growth trees and even some new ones that have these weed trees we get in Utah that just sprout and grow to full size trees within a year. I'm like, why can't fruit trees grow that fast?
Oh, I know, huh?
Yeah. Why can't good trees grow that fast instead of just these garbage trees? But yeah,
it's because the trees that grow big and strong and fast, they are by design planted as male trees.
Yes.
Female trees do work and don't grow as fast. And
yes.
And because they're busy being productive and good members of society. And so they take a little longer to grow. And so, you know, I mean, it comes down to when you're talking about the urban forest. We did a lot of work when I was working for the city on urban forestry, and that was just it. It was you've had to have seen the meme by now, but you know why? If you put up a fruit tree, people will steal the fruit, and it's like, no, you put them in the fucking park strips, and people get free food.
Yeah,
You know, it makes sense. Yeah. It's a good idea. Therefore, right wingers are opposed to it.
One person in Rose Park, like, they complained because people were eating their vegetables because they had the garden in the front. And one person complained, and so, like, there was an uprising of people building vegetable gardens in their front yard for other people to eat. Because they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yep.
And there was just, like, this weird uprising.
I like that. You know, if you grow it in your front yard, it's available. It should be available to everybody. I know there's in California, they have a law because they're fruit trees, you know, especially citrus trees grow really well in California. And the law says if it's hanging out over the sidewalk, it's everybody's.
Nice.
You want an orange, you want a lemon, you want a lime. They, you know, they grow in abundance down on, you know, in California, and there's not enough for the individual homeowner to eat, or it's too much for the individual homeowner to eat. So they just go by. They say if it's hanging over the sidewalk, it's anybody's. Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Makes me want to move to California and grow fruit trees.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Enough.
You know. But some.
Two.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the basic question is get me the fuck out of Utah.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you can make money just growing fruit trees in your yard.
No.
But it'd be nice. Anyway, Biden did a thing. He did several things this week. And we're going to talk about some of them. Now, part of it,
it's good to have an active president who actually does things instead of just talks about things.
Yep.
Yes.
One of the things he did was he fell down in public.
Same. Like, I have a knee
scar
right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I fall down in public quite often. Mm-hmm. He tripped over a sandbag that was holding a mic stand in place at a graduation, I believe, the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, I would have tripped over that, too.
have done many times.
Yeah.
I would have tripped over it, fallen hard, and gotten up and laughed and walked away. Yeah,
yeah, the former stage manager in me was like, hey, what's with the shitty bag placement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ, I don't give a fuck what you think. The dude's 83.
Mm-hmm.
83-year-olds fall down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that is what it is. But we got the debt ceiling raised.
Yeah, speaking of being 83, where you had all the Republicans going on about, well, you know, we'll offer him some soft food and he'll come around to our way of thinking and everything. And now they're like, he played us. He really played us.
Again.
Yeah, again.
Again. Is it great? No. There's some serious fucked up stuff. But when you consider what was being held hostage, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yes. In a couple of months, I'm going to be really fucking annoyed with Republicans, specifically on student loan forgiveness.
Yes.
But in the meantime, even though I don't make enough money, I'm still going to have a job. There's still an economy mm-hmm. that's going to be there. For some fucking reason or another, we've protected the fucking stock market again, even though that has absolutely doodly shit to do with my day-to-day.
Yep.
I got nothing in the stock market. So fuck them, fuckers.
But that's what I say.
Yeah. But I mean, that was it. But the other thing that he did, and this one impressed me enough to actually include a link, mm-hmm. Is he ordered a 20-year ban on oil and gas drilling around tribal sites in New Mexico. Hundreds of square miles in New Mexico will be withdrawn from further oil and gas production for the next 20 years. It was on the outskirts of the Chaco Culture, a National Historical Park. Tribal communities consider sacred. A new order from the Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland, applies to public lands, associated mineral rights within 10-mile radius of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Does not apply to entities that are privately state or tribal owned. Existing leases won't be impacted either. But it's a World Heritage Site, the Chaco Cultural Natural History Park. It's somewhere I want to go. There's a neat little documentary about it. Narrated by Robert Redford of all folks.
Ooh.
Mm.
That I have to tell you is not only, if it's the daytime, wildly interesting to watch because of what goes on in the park.
Mm-hmm.
If you put it on late at night, Robert Redford's dulcet tones will just narrate Ooh. Your ass right to sleep.
Yes.
I love that.
You know, after reading the Disney World lease deal or land lease deal that they had penned up, you know, it's the when the final descendant 20 years after the final descendant of King Charles V or King Charles III has died, I was like, you know, a family whose whole purpose is to continue having children so they can keep the throne. I thought, you know, we should have more like that. So a ban of further oil and gas productions, I would say, until the last descendant of the Chaco culture dies. 20 years after the last descendant of the Chaco culture dies. Any of these now. We just need to do these bands like that. I think that would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
And if you say, you know, the last last member of the Chaco culture dies, that means, one, the Chaco culture will continue to perpetuate. But two, if it dies out, then, you know, That's a whole thing to worry about. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A. Woke.
Woke.
The problem is it's not, so I still can't go there.
It's far from woke, yeah.
But, Chick-fil-A hired a diversity, equity, and inclusion vice president.
Uh-oh.
The right wing's gone insane, even though they hired this guy like 2-3 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they are under fire for being woke after conservatives caught wind, about a diversity vice president.
Took them 3 years to find out there was one.
Yeah. Eric McReynolds, funny. The vice president and executive director of diversity, equality, and inclusion, wrote an online statement that dates back to last fall.
Mm-hmm.
Stating that Chick-fil-A restaurants have long been recognized as a place where people know they will be treated well. All right.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been in Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When Forrest was really sick, some friends of his threw a fundraiser for him through the Chick-fil-A. And that one I went to.
Hey, as long as you're not a member of the LGBTQ community, they take care of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Modeling care for others starts in the restaurant, and we are committed to ensuring mutual respect, understanding, and dignity everywhere we do business. These tenets are good business practices and crucial to fulfilling our corporate purpose.
That is the most innocuous, vanilla statement for a diversity vice president, in my opinion, and says nothing, basically.
Yeah, some of the comments. Chick-fil-A's gone woke, whined commenter Ian Miles Chung. Turning Point USA's John Root complained, Chick-fil-A just hired a VP of diversity, equity, inclusion. Is this just checking off a corporate box, or do they believe this Marxist nonsense?
At diversity, equity, and inclusion is Marxism. Gotcha.
They don't even know what communism is.
Not when I read it.
Yeah.
I don't recall that. Anyway, yeah. So McReynolds has been the vice president of DEI since November of 2021. Before that, he was the executive director of diversity, equality, and inclusion since July 2020.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked for Chick-fil-A for more than a decade.
Huh.
Still not going to eat there. As long as they keep giving money to people who think that, LGBTQ plus folks ought to be just executed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can fuck right off. I'm not eating their shitty chicken.
Exactly.
Yep.
I don't have to eat at their restaurant. And to this day, I still call it Hate Burger.
Yep.
Yeah. I just, no.
Bigot or Bird.
Or nice. Chick-fil-A.
That's fair. Hey, though. Hey.
Hmm.
Chris Stewart's going to resign from the House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Unfortunately, he's resigning now so that he can just be replaced, by the Republicans. We don't have to go to a vote. Yeah.
Well, he says he's leaving to spend more time with his family,
mm-hmm.
which makes me wonder, what the fuck did he do?
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's just leaving to spend more time with his family, if that was legit, his office would answer the phone to press inquiries saying, yeah, he's just going to spend time with his family, as opposed to, shutting the door, turning off the lights, and everybody whispers so the reporter doesn't know we're here. Yep. So, yeah, we get a primary and a general election for this.
Mm-hmm.
It takes potentially... It doesn't. It doesn't change a goddamn thing. But potentially, it would reduce the Republican Party's 5-seat majority in the House to 4. Okay.
It won't. Not in the case of whoever replaces Chris Stewart, because Utah votes stupid, but we'll see.
Yep. But yeah, Stewart could resign as early as this week, reducing Republicans' already slim majority in the House. The vacancy could become a headache for McCarthy, who has struggled to get his party to coalesce around legislation. Good. This is a headache. This is not only do we get rid of Chris Stewart, yay, moron, racist piece of shit. You know, we
don't
get to give McCarthy a headache.
Should have bit you.
Yeah. Which I think is great. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I do. And then in the continuing gifts given this week, I love it. I love it when politician families pop up and go, you know what? No, he's fucked up and I don't care for it.
I love when that happens. Yeah.
But Tommy Tuberville's brother is rebuking Tommy Tuberville's vile rhetoric on race, saying, I feel compelled to distance myself from his ignorant, hateful rants. Musician Charles Tuberville said about his brother, the politician.
Please don't judge me and my music based on my brother's idiot ramblings. Yeah.
Yeah. Tuberville's recently come under fire for making incendiary comments related to race. On Friday, Charles Tuberville, who has reportedly played with B.B. King, Leon Russell, Johnny Winter, Delbert McClinton, and other stars that may have something to, you know, in common, so that they're not really all that white. Anyway, he took to Facebook to get his point across. It said, due to recent statements by him promoting racial stereotypes, white nationalism, and other various controversial topics, I feel compelled to distance myself from his ignorant, hate-filled rants. I do not, all caps, I do not agree with any of the vile rhetoric coming out of his mouth. Please don't confuse my brother with me. Thanks. Whereas I'm more like, hey, you see that little shit over there with the two replacement hips riding a skateboard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Please confuse me with him, the skinny little fucker. That's my brother. My brother's just, you know, slightly younger than me and far, far more athletic. Mm-hmm. You know, I can still take him in a fight. Pretty sure. You know, he weighs all of about 120. You know, I could pick him up and use him as a weapon to beat another person to death. That's what I could do.
That's what you could do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But can I ride a skateboard? No, I cannot.
No, you cannot.
But then, you know, in my defense, I wasn't all that great at it when I was young.
That's fair.
Can I ride a skateboard? Yes, I can. Is it a scooter? No. Yes, unless I get hit by a car or it's raining. Just saying. All right, look, we're going to take a little break. When we get back on the other side, we've got a whole stack of bastards for you.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And JC.
Just wanted to talk to you for a minute about Patreon. Patreon.com. Patreon.com. That's where we raise the money to put these shows on each and every week. For those of you that weren't paying attention, we didn't hit our fundraising goals this year, and so we need your help to keep the shows going.
Please.
Now, more than ever.
Oh.
We don't say that. That's.
I thought we were not being aggressive.
Yeah, that's bad political writing, is that one right there?
In the arms of
the angels. There you go. You do that. So, anyway, every week that we record, we put special content behind a paywall over at patreon.com/defendmedia for you to listen to so that you know deep down inside you're better than everyone else. patreon.com/defendmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Join us over there, will you? It's pennies on the dollar.
Please.
Reason you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then, here's some more of that, I suppose.
The game is I take an edible and then we try and get the show done before it kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff has kicked in.
Has already
now,
kicked
I
in.
I didn't take a lot, but they said take one and I took two because I'm like that.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm a little.
Well, you said it's like Banaka. It was always two hits of Banaka, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Force of 80s muscle memory is what that is.
Exactly. Yeah.
I can't help that.
It's nice, though.
It is nice. It is nice, but I got a show to run, and I'm just sitting there, and I want to start telling jokes.
That's okay. The show's supposed to be funny sometimes.
It is supposed to be funny sometimes. That's why we're going to talk about Trump.
Okay.
Well, this story is kind of funny, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, you've got what he says in public, which is historically bullshit.
Yeah.
You've got what he says to his lawyers say to judges, which is about 60% bullshit. And then you've got people who seem to cannot wait to leak evidence against him, you know, and that's where we find out where he's 100% completely full of shit. But basically, he was having a chat with a bunch of rich Republicans, like you do.
I love it.
Had a guy in the room with a tape recorder.
It's my Tuesday night.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. And he was taped discussing a particular document that he stole from the White House about, you know, U.S. war plans for Iran, contingency plans. Federal prosecutors have obtained the recording of Trump discussing the sensitive military document he took with him after leaving the White House, a potentially damaging piece of evidence in the ongoing investigation of his handling of classified documents. CNN first reported that investigators had obtained a recording from July 2021 at a meeting in New Jersey between Trump and a bunch of people working on a memoir by his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows.
Okay.
New York Times reported that one of Trump's aides, Margot Martin, regularly recorded interviews he gave for books. During the conversation, Trump reportedly referenced a document he said had been compiled by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, related to the U.S. attacking Iran, which for some reason, after being out of office for more than a year, he still had in his possession.
Okay.
Trump indicated in the recording that he knew the document was secret and that he really shouldn't share it with anyone that he was with at the moment because it hadn't been declassified, thereby knocking his "you can declassify with your mind" argument out of the water more than just its own existence did.
I still love that this is a law he signed.
Yeah.
That said you can't remove sensitive documents from their place of, you know, their designated location. He signed the law. He was like, "Take that, Hillary Clinton," as he signed the law. And now he's the one with all the fucking documents. Yeah.
Yeah. Trump's been saying he's entitled to show classified documents to other people.
Yep. The law applies to everyone but me. Yeah.
Yep. Said, "Of course I would have the right to. By the way, they were declassified after."
Mm-hmm.
By whom? Because Biden didn't.
Yeah.
And he's the president now.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Yeah.
Well, according to most of Trump's followers, Trump is still president, so, you know.
Yeah, he's just on a longer vacation.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Bigger, much longer golf trip, yeah.
Well, if he's still the president, then he doesn't get a run again, does he?
Yeah,
ooh.
Exactly.
Yep. I mean, it's really what it comes down to.
Voter fraud?
Mm-hmm. Well, not that they have a problem with that.
No.
It's
yeah.
Boebert, not Boebert. Cinema.
Yeah.
Look, they both wear gaudy clothing. Just one of them bought it at Walmart, and one of them bought it somewhere more expensive. They both look ridiculous when they get dressed up. Can I just say?
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
But the Senate on Thursday approved a Republican bill that would invalidate Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness program, even though he's vowed to veto it if it reaches his desk. Two Democratic senators from red states who are up for re-election next year joined every Republican in support of the effort. John Tester of Montana.
I would say one and a half Democrats, since Sinema has already said she's switching parties.
Well, she already has. She's the third vote.
Yeah.
This was John Tester of Montana. Fuck you, John Tester. Seriously. I've met you. I've shaken your hand. You're a nice guy. What the hell, ass clown?
Yeah.
And then Joe Manchin of West Virginia. And then independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema.
That's right.
Yeah. Biden's plan would have canceled up to $20,000 in student debt for borrowers making less than $125,000 a year, offering relief to more than 40 million Americans.
If he made it so that anyone could get forgiveness, you know, didn't have the financial restriction, would Republicans be behind it? That's what I've been wondering.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before. I had $7,000 in student loans. I have paid $11,000 in student loans. I still owe almost $13,000 in student loans.
Yep.
Because
I'm
of
in the same boat.
The compounding interest.
Yep. I'm in the same boat. If they forgave, by forgiving my student loans, they forgive half my interest.
Yep.
That's all they forgive. Yep. Yeah.
It's very
frustrating. And I want them to do it. And, you know, I have to fight Republicans the whole way, which is my whole life.
Yeah. We're performing usury on you. Why are you fighting us? Democrats slammed the effort to repeal Biden's student loan program, saying it would deny needed relief to millions of student borrowers. Not just those who went to elite schools. They also noted the legislation the Senate advanced on Wednesday would undo Biden's freeze on student loan payments that were originally paused by Trump in response to the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Schumer said, "Let me say this again. It's so important." This measure only... hold on. I got to put glasses way at the end of my fucking nose.
Yeah, completely the end.
And then not use them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm tipsy enough that I'm doing prop comedy on a podcast.
An audio podcast.
Yeah. This measure not only repeals the payment pause, it forces many borrowers to make retroactive payments as well. Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate the good news. 90% of the relief provided by the Department of Education would go to Americans earning less than $75,000 per year. No relief would go to any individual or household in the top 5% of incomes, the White House said.
Who, let's be honest, they've already paid off their student loans.
They didn't have student loans.
Or they didn't have them in the first place, exactly, because mommy and daddy paid for it.
But no labels, whom you might recall, we have a touchstone here. In Utah, which was former Governor Huntsman, you know.
Yeah.
Very, very small in stature man, with not a lot of long-term thinking, did an admirable, commendable job, you know, as ambassador to China, wasn't it?
Yeah. He was the ambassador to China for Barack Obama, which was... It was awesome that he was able to do that. And, yeah, he was good at... He was good at his job for that. I worked with a guy who served a mission in Taiwan, and Huntsman, he's an older guy, and Huntsman was the whatever mucky muck missionary at the time. So and both of them kept up on their Chinese and understanding Chinese culture and everything far more than most returned missionaries do. So yeah. He was more than qualified. He was overqualified for the job, and I'm glad that he was picked. But anyway, back to no labels.
So a more perfect union, media that builds power for working people, released a video this week, narrated by Andrew Rivera, investigating the people and organizations behind the super PAC that funds no labels. Excuse me. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema, one of the primary recipients to benefit from the fundraising efforts. In December 2022, she announced she was leaving the Democratic Party to run as an independent. Or I should say to lose as an independent.
To run as an independent and vote as a Republican, yes.
Yeah, no labels, quote, a gilded cabal of dark money, end quote, appears to be her sugar pack, even as polls indicate her bid would be a non-entity. this is the group of people that are also floating the idea of running Joe Manchin for president this next election cycle. Joe Manchin. No Labels isn't new.
He could dock his boat next to the White House. I don't know. Yep. Along the Potomac.
Founded in 2009. Mm-hmm. No Labels has worked tirelessly, they say, to give voice to America's common sense majority. No.
No.
They've made a notable impact in Congress by creating the bipartisan House Problem Solvers Caucus. Nope. They're problematic.
Mm-hmm. They're a big problem.
Yep. And connecting them with an allied Senate group through regular bicameral meetings. It's basically rich people who think that Trump is just a little too much trying to find other people they think are not too much to take too much from those of us that don't have very much.
Exactly.
That sum it up? Evan McMullen.
Yeah, fuck Evan McMullen, fucker. And the goddamn Democrats that fucking rode him to what was the word I'm looking for here? Defeat.
Defeat.
Defeat. You guys and your big fucking plans. I know we will abandon our party, stab it in the back, drop its trow in the middle of the high school lunchroom.
Mm-hmm.
We'll run a Republican.
And give it a wedgie.
Yep. We'll run a Republican. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Profit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't work. And what happened is the elected officials and former elected officials that were on that fucking bandwagon of failure, of absolute and utter fucking failure, they were so busy with their own fucking cleverness that they didn't just use Mike Lee against himself in ads.
Yeah.
You know, the guy is odious. Every time he opens his mouth, it's fucking poison.
Mm-hmm.
Quote him. Put it in context. Do the fucking work. No. What we're going to do as leftists is take a party that really has not seemed valid since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I picked that particular date for a reason. And if you know why, you win a no prize. But yeah,
I won a no prize.
Yep. But yeah, it's a party with no weight. It's a party where most of the elected officials in it spend all their time making sure that the Republicans are happy, because if they don't, they won't pass our legislation. And then what'll we do if we can't have a piece of a park bench named after someone who wasn't a complete piece of shit? That's about the level we run here.
That is exactly the level we're on.
And all they did was basically just cut the legs and arms off the Democratic Party, as useless as they seem to be, to make sure that it was permanent, the damage that they did. It's obscene. Mm-hmm. It was silly. It was honestly more silly than Russia issuing an arrest warrant for Lindsey Graham. I'm not saying that all of my transitions are going to be gold. But I went off on a rant, and I didn't know how to come back.
It was a pretty good one. It was a pretty good one.
Russia's Interior Ministry on Monday issued an arrest warrant for Senator Lindsey Graham following his comments related to fighting in Ukraine. In an edited video of his meeting on Friday with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky that was released by Zelensky's office, Lindsey Graham... A Republican from South Carolina noted that the Republicans are dying, or that the Russians are dying. I don't know. 6 and 5. Pick them. Mm-hmm. And described the U.S. military assistance to the country as the best money we've ever spent. Way to go, Linz.
Yeah.
Way to go, sweetie.
There's your broken clock moment for Lindsey Graham, everyone. Yeah.
What was the best one? The best one was, what's his name, Blinken?
Yeah.
Blinken gave it a speech this week. It was like, used to be considered by world powers that Russia had the second greatest military on the planet. Now we're not even sure if they have the second greatest military in Ukraine. It's like, fuck yeah, Blinken! Nail that shit down. Brilliant.
But as for this arrest warrant for Graham, all I want to know is there a bounty?
Oh!
I might be willing to collect a bounty.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, it's like normally
Lindsay,
if you were
I
to...
agree with what you said about Ukraine and the rest of your career, though, go to Russia.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying is it's like normally if you kidnap a senator and give him to a hostile foreign entity, you would get in a lot of trouble. But basically, if the cops came for you, you just go, dude, it was Lindsey Graham. And they're like, oh, I get it. I get it.
Too bad it wasn't Ted Cruz is what they would say. Yeah.
So as we swing towards the end of the B block, did you guys do anything on the Memorial Day? I worked. I worked all day Memorial Day.
I pretty much worked the whole weekend because we're getting ready for the Scottish Festival.
Yeah.
I think Sunday, I think, was International Hamburger Day. So that's when I did my grilling. Okay. I grilled up some burgers.
Okay.
But otherwise, no, we didn't get a whole lot done that all weekend. Right. I got a lot done. I didn't get a lot of, you know, rest and relaxation done.
That's fair. But Trump and DeSantis, well, you went camping.
No. Oh, I did for a night. My friend has a cabin.
Yeah.
So we went there. And then on Memorial Day, we took Della to go see Little Mermaid.
Oh, how'd that go?
It was really cute. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
I've never seen Little Mermaid.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Okay.
Same kind of story.
Well, I don't really want to see it now either. You know.
Okay.
Not because I have a problem with black mermaids. I don't care for Disney musicals.
It's not just black mermaids. They actually use people from their seas.
That's really clever.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that idea. Wow. You mean the oceans aren't just full of white people?
Yeah, it was fun because it's like, okay.
No, I dig that a lot. No, it makes a lot of sense. It's very clever.
That's very clever.
I'm not surprised that it went over the head of most Republicans.
Most conservatives, yeah.
Yep. Historically, Heil Hitler, mermaids are white.
Okay.
Well, since the Little Mermaid was a Hans Christian Andersen story, and he was, you know, white, she's therefore white.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I don't think Hans Christian Andersen would give a shit. Yeah.
No, being dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Trump and DeSantis both commemorated Memorial Day by seeing who could be the most fascist.
Ooh.
And the winner is?
I think it's a tie.
Mm. Yeah.
Trump has shown his ass on Memorial Day for years. His 2015 message, I would like to wish everyone, including all the haters and losers, of which sadly there are many, a truly happy and enjoyable Memorial Day. Put a pin in that. Memorial Day is a day where we commemorate death and the passing of those who died violently and too soon. That's what Memorial Day is about. So maybe I don't want to have a happy and enjoyable Memorial Day. Maybe that is a day when I should be thinking thoughts of, I don't know, trying not to get Americans killed in wars. How about that? Right? But instead, a truly happy and enjoyable Memorial Day. Fuck off. The one-term loser spent Memorial Day in 2020 when almost 100,000 Americans had died from COVID-19, tweeting a gross sexist lie about Nancy Pelosi and Stacey Abrams.
Of course he did.
This year, he was pretty much just completely unhinged. From President Biden, we get the following. On Memorial Day, we honor America's fallen heroes. Air Force Academy stage notwithstanding. who gave their last full measure of devotion to
this
nation.
Bring it back.
We'll never be able to repay the debt we owe them, but today we rededicate ourselves to the work for which they gave their lives, and we recommit to supporting the loved ones they left behind. That's President Biden. Trump, all caps, happy Memorial Day to all, but especially to those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for the country they love. You remember when he called them losers and suckers in France.
Yeah.
And to those in line of a very different but equally dangerous fire, stopping the threats of the terrorist misfits and lunatic thugs who are working feverishly from within to overturn and destroy our once great country, which has never been in greater peril than it is right now. We must stop the communist, Marxist, and fascist pigs at every turn. We're trying, Donald, but you keep running. And make America great again.
Why do you put pigs in quotes?
Because he doesn't understand how fucking words work.
I think he thinks fascist cops.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe lately. But yeah. Yeah, that's how your two guys who want to be president are running the show. But that's the B block. We're going to take a break. When we get back, I got other news.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Ray Stevenson, Johnny Beasley, Jesse Maple, and Tina Turner.
They're all gone to the great Thunderdome in the sky.
Danny Masterson was convicted of 2 counts of forcible rape.
Ew.
Marvel's Batman and The Flash are now action figures. In moving pictures, Amazon Prime Video took a shot at Netflix.
Shots fired.
Tomb Raider sequel was scrapped for another reboot.
God damn it.
The WGA strike is delaying Marvel's Thunderbolts.
God damn it. Although, go writer's strike.
Comics, Image Comics is making the move from Diamond to Lunar.
Jeff, you should say God damn it right here.
There is no God.
Marvel is hosting a real-life Hellfire Gala at the San Diego Comic-Con.
Look, a great party I can't afford to go to.
Superior Spider-Man and Captain America are each getting new series this fall. We review Star Trek, The Power Girl Special number 1, Fury, Joe Fixit number 5, Daredevil, and Fathom. All this and Bryan Cranston really wants you to watch his Disney Plus movie before it's gone.
No.
Face Front True Believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
I got nothing. There's no happy in me right now. I am a joyless, joyless, empty vessel. Whereas DeSantis, not that I missed it on purpose, just carrying it over.
There you go.
DeSantis went on to Fox News saying, I will serve 2 terms. I will be able to destroy leftism in this country. What he said was, everybody knows if I'm the nominee, I'll beat Biden and I will serve 2 terms. I will be able to destroy leftism in this country and leave woke ideology on the dustbin of history. You know,
he says woke so much.
He does, because he doesn't understand.
Well, that's because it's a dog whistle to say, vote for me, you dumbasses who think woke is a bad thing.
Yeah. Hey, you don't like it that you can't be racist out loud? Vote for me. Hey, you don't like it that you can discriminate against whoever the fuck you want just because you've decided that your fake deity said so, even though in the dipshit piece of fiction you guys call a religious tome, he doesn't mention it at all?
That went a couple layers.
Yeah.
That went a couple layers.
That did.
But yeah, DeSantis, dustbin of history.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, I think that's where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
I'm not saying a good thing's going to happen. I'm just saying I don't think that you're good enough at being bad to be the bad thing that's going to happen to us in the future. A bad thing is going to happen to us. Of that, I have no doubt. Bad things are happening every fucking day thanks to Republicans and dipshits like this asshole. I just don't think he's going to be the top of the heap. I really think that Trump's going to beat him in the primary. And then depending on whether or not he's still alive, I think Joe Biden could take him again.
Yeah, really Joe Biden will knock him down.
Yeah.
And I would like to hope that they put up a reasonable candidate and that the primary is actually overattended like it was a few years ago for, you know, when it was Trump and it came when it was down to Trump and Cruz and people were holding their nose and voting for Cruz in a lot of states, even though Trump was carrying a few more than he needed to. But yeah, it's like you get people out, but if you give them a candidate who's a little more reasonable in the Republican side, then at least they tend to vote him down. And if it was Trump, DeSantis, and one other guy, like let's say John Huntsman or somebody like that, you know, somebody innocuous, if it was those three guys, you could diminish the votes for those other two fascists and, you know, maybe see somebody reasonable coming through again. But I don't think we'll ever see a reasonable Republican again, to be honest.
No, I don't either. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is no matter.
Yeah, the culture wars cause too much where everybody's just going to vote for who they want to vote for.
When you're running for primary votes.
Yeah. Well,
oh, go ahead.
You said everyone's going to vote for who they're going to vote for.
Oh, well, that's fair. That is fair.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I said that wrong. I meant they're going to vote for the person they think is. They're going to vote for the worst possible choice they could possibly vote for.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
If they had the option of having an ice cream cone or punching themselves in the dick, politically speaking, they'd punch themselves in the dick.
Because they were told that's better than having the ice cream cone because the ice cream cone is woke and therefore Marxist.
Yeah, because there's more flavors than just vanilla.
Exactly. Not but punching yourself in the dick, that's the American way.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. I lost my train of thought. It's not my fault. It's Banaka. An antibiotic that could be used to treat one of the world's worst drug-resistant superbugs has been discovered by a supercomputer using AI. This is a good use of AI.
This is a good time for AI, yes. Yeah.
Artificial intelligence is proving to be a great tool for combating antimicrobial resistance. You don't get to say that every day.
No.
And the World Health Organization named as one of the top 10 global public health threats facing humanity.
Who?
My antimicrobial resistance.
Oh, I meant the World Health Organization. The
oh,
who?
Gotcha.
Nice.
I see what you did there.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm sorry I didn't tag along on that. That would have been a good chuckle.
That's okay.
Canadian United States scientists have used deep learning to identify an antibiotic molecule. That can kill, long medical word. Acientobacter baumannii. One of the most dangerous antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Notoriously difficult to eradicate. Baumannii. Oh, they shortened it for me. Thanks, pals. causes infections in vulnerable hospital patients. Like premature babies and those with comprised immune systems. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Turning the AI on and plugging it into the internet, bad.
Mm-hmm.
Very bad. We saw what that is in Age of Ultron. You know, turning it on and saying, hey, how do we fight this? And the AI goes, oh, I got it. It is. I mean, it serves a purpose. There's a purpose for it to be served. I just hope that we keep it stupid and out of robots. Workers at Dollar General are ready to strike.
Mm-hmm.
They are ready to strike because almost 50 people have been killed as employees of Dollar General in the last few years.
Yep. Almost 10 years, yeah.
Yeah. Dollar General is the fastest growing retailer in America right now, opening about 1,000 stores a year. But following repeated violent incidents and federal workplace safety violations at some stores, some Dollar General workers and labor advocates are calling for stronger safety and health protections. Workers and their allies are rallying Wednesday outside the Dollar General headquarters in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. Ahead of the company's annual shareholder meeting to protest conditions. They say the company is failing to take basic precautions to prevent violence in its stores. Since 2014, there have been 49 people killed and 172 people injured at Dollar General stores, according to data from the nonprofit group Gun Violence Archive. CNN investigation in 2020 found that at least six store employees died during armed robberies from 2016 to 2020. OSHA, those jackbooted thugs.
Yes, the jackbooted thugs of OSHA.
Cited unsafe conditions at dozens of Dollar General stores in recent years.
Dollar General is on... I have to process things for Dollar General all the time.
Yeah.
We'll just put it that way, yeah.
Since 2017, the federal agency has proposed more than $21 million in fines against Dollar Generals. Inspectors commonly found aisles, emergency exits, fire extinguishers, and electrical panels blocked by merchandise and boxes stacked unsafely.
So it's one thing to, you can't get out of the store, and then you have violent criminals coming in and robbing you and killing your employees who can't get out of the store because they've blocked aisles and emergency exits. Yeah.
That's what they want to do to kids.
Meanwhile, corporate is just like, let's make more.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because they got put on the severe violator enforcement program by OSHA, which is basically we're going to be here every day until you straighten up and we'll fine you every time we find something wrong. And you have stores all over the country, so we're going to be every fucking where.
Yep.
And they're like, well, maybe we should do something. And, you know, the store itself, you know, the management is like, we should do something. We should provide something. And the investors are like, no, don't.
We put them in poor neighborhoods for a reason. So the poor people are the ones that work for us.
Yep.
Anyway.
They work for us, they buy from us, and then they rob us. Yeah. And it's all, $21 million is just the cost of capitalism.
Workers are also protesting safety conditions at Dollar Tree stores.
Mm-hmm.
That company, which also owns the Family Dollar chain, has been cited for more than 300 federal and state OSHA workplace safety violations since 2017.
Oh.
The company...
That's dollar in the name.
Yeah.
I have processed it, yeah.
The company's repeated and continued disregard for human safety suggests the company thinks profits matter more than people, said OSHA regional admin Kurt Petermeyer in Atlanta last week. Dollar Tree also did not respond to questions.
No.
The dog forgot to jump on the bed. That's what's going on right now.
I know. He's watched him fall.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. So Joe Biden gets up, and in that folksy way he does, he says something to the effect of, you know, racism's bad. Anti-Semitism is bad. We shouldn't do it. At which point, certain Republicans get their knickers in a twist and then say the quiet parts out loud.
Yeah, which is always fun for us.
The tweet is, Biden says U.S. government agencies will take over 100 bold and unprecedented actions to fight hate and anti-Semitism. To which Lauren Boebert said, when they say stuff like this, they mean they want to go after conservatives. Their tactics are straight out of the USSR's playbook. One, I don't think she knows what a USSR is.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she doesn't.
No. She probably thinks that they were the United Colors of Benetton.
Yeah.
Which she also hated.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They want to go after conservatives because we're all about hate and anti-Semitism.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's pretty stupid. Okay, Iowa. I'm finishing up on Iowa.
Okay.
As of July 1st, the state auditor of Iowa will be unable to ask the courts to order state agencies and officials under investigation to provide records. Instead, the governor gets to decide what gets examined. So the one job, it's a statewide job that you run for as auditor, who gets to watch. Look, we got a guy, Duggan, who's our auditor here.
Yeah.
I hate him. I have hated him since he was a representative on the floor of the House of the Legislature. He's a bad dude. He's an asshole. Mm-hmm. He's a typical fucking Utah Republican. Don't like him. Do not like him. But as an auditor, he does stuff.
He does his job.
Yeah, he actually not let's he does half his job. I mean, let's not.
He does okay. He does part of his job.
But on that half that he does, he follows through and pisses off other Republicans and puts mm-hmm. out reports that make them uncomfortable, saying, "What the fuck, guys?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, "Well, you used to do it, and I don't do it anymore," kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, in Iowa, it's going to require a 3-member arbitration board to decide if the agency should release information. One member would be appointed by the governor, one by the agency that's being investigated, whose director is appointed by the governor, and the third member would be appointed by the auditor, you know, the guy whose job it is to look into this that was actually elected in a statewide vote. Iowa Auditor Rob Sands called the law, quote, the worst pro-corruption bill in Iowa history. Akin to letting the defendant decide what evidence the judge and jury are allowed to see. So not only that, but the law is probably going to jeopardize $12 billion in federal funding by preventing the state from complying with federal award requirements and or requiring more frequent audits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're going to go do Patreon. You like that? How's that? That's my smoothest transition.
That was the,
We're going to go do Patreon now. It's at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. That's where we go every week that we record. And we lay down something special, for the folks there that participate in our, in being part of our Patreon squad. I would ask, that you guys join us there. It's a really good way to support the show. It doesn't cost a lot. It could cost as much as you feel it should. Pay what you will, I guess, is where it comes from. For those of you that reached out to me and said that you wanted to help with my other personal difficulties, the GoFundMe is on my Facebook page at The JM Bell. Not going to beg, just going to remind you that it's there and appreciate you even thinking about me. With that said, when's Father's Day?
The 17th, 18th.
The 18th. So okay. 2 weeks.
Okay, so we'll be here next week.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not worry about anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, John, Taylor, thank you for joining me this week.
Always.
Tiffany, thanks for piping in from the background. with that said, why don't we all do what the British lady says?
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon, patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.